You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Recovery. It seems like the multitudes are talking about it. I don't know what's happened. I know we did drugs back in the 60s. I'm a Woodstocker. But there seems to be a whole lot of people, thank goodness, a whole lot of people in recovery. I don't know how many are out there tonight that will be drinking or doing drugs. And we've got Pastor Dwight Hadley. He is in recovery. How many years sober do you have, sir?
25.
25. Well, February, that makes you an expert.
February will make 26.
26 coming up in February. Well, welcome to our broadcast, and thank you.
Thank you, thank you. It's an honor and a privilege to be here.
It's great to have you here. And so I'm just going to let you have the mic because I heard you speak once, and it was really good. And that's why I called your friend who called you, and in turn you came up here. Thank you very much for driving up here. And tell us your story.
Well, please. My story is as much of it is different. It's really the same. What we found is that studies show that by the time a child is 7 years old, that he has imprinted an idea of himself and his world. For me, the garbage man ran over my puppy when I was 4 years old. How do you process that? The little guts are hanging out. You know, you still got cartoons running around in your head and bright colors. And so a lot of us, especially under the age of 10, saw something, heard something, felt something, or was told something. And there was a maladjustment or an imbalance. And then some actually believe that some are hereditary. If you go to a doctor, any doctor, he's going to ask you, does this run in the family? Does that run in the family? Does this run in the family? And so there is some discussion of how much could possibly be genetic. But with my story, I was born and raised in the South. And
South where?
Fort Pierce, Melbourne area.
Okay.
Yeah, my mother
was. It's funny. I think of the Carolinas and Georgia's the South. I think of us being up North. Because, you know, there's a lot of New Yorkers, New Jersey people here.
Yeah.
But this is the South. Once in a while, you'll run into a person from Fort Pierce or wherever who has a little bit of a Southern accent.
Yeah. And we are very tropical down here. So we get some of the stuff that the Northern Southerners don't get. Mm-hmm. But, so I grew up in a somewhat of a poor upbringing, and my grandparents weren't very educated, and so one of the things that I had to learn concerning myself, and this applies to a lot of people, is that I was misinformed by the misinformed. Yeah. I was educated by people that were not educated, and a lot of the things that I was told when I was coming up was slightly misconstrued or given into what's called superstitions and what have you.
Yeah. You have to unlearn stuff.
Yes.
I know my father was killed when I was very young, so you know I was hanging out with a bunch of hippies, and you have to unlearn some of that stuff.
Oh yeah, a lot of unlearning. But anyway, went to the military and went to Job Corps.
So you
did a lot of
travel. You went into the military?
Oh, yeah.
Which
I was Army. I did basics in Fort Dix, and I did AIT in Aberdeen,
What's
Maryland.
AIT mean?
Advanced Individual Training. They first teach you how to be a soldier, and then they teach you your job.
Can I ask you this? So you said, you know, there was a lot of superstition growing up. I did not serve in the military, but I was wondering, did you take away a gift of discipline by having gone through those disciplines, or did the discipline hurt you?
Well, a little bit of both. It depends on one's mindset, which, again, goes back to the root of recovery. Everything that doesn't... We used to have a saying, anything that doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Yeah.
And so If you offer something to a person that he likes, he'll like it. If you offer him something he doesn't like, he'll push it away.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's with events and information and so on as well. Everything that a person runs into, I believe, and I've been taught, that we are a product of our environment and our choices.
Yes.
Environment plays one part, and then from, let's say, 18, 21 forward, it's purely your choices now.
Yeah.
Your environment is not necessarily a factor unless you continuously place yourself in the same environment.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get trained by our training. By the time I was 30, I'd say late 20s, I was very much engulfed into the drug lifestyle, and it came very soft, very soft.
Did you serve actively in a war zone at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you don't have any trauma there?
No. As a matter of fact, my permanent party duty station was Schofield Barracks, Hawaii. So I did like three years in Hawaii.
Suffering for the cause.
Oh, yeah. Somebody's got to do it.
Oh,
Somebody's got to do it. And it was some really good time. And I surrounded myself by a lot of academics. By the time I was pretty much all coming out of the military, I had done two different sects of Buddhism and three different sects of Islam. I was never afraid of the God idea, never afraid of spiritual training. But as you alluded to earlier, I've always tried to grab something that could help me with discipline. I was a martial arts instructor for quite a while because I was always looking for that inward, or should I say the outward discipline to treat the inward man?
Yeah.
Because what happened, and you spoke about Woodstock, light alcohol, light marijuana, I did it for years. And then one day a switch just flipped and I started losing control. And again, ex-military, ex-martial arts, I'm supposed to be disciplined.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be structured. I'm supposed to be organized.
Creeps up on you.
But more than anything, I'm supposed to be educated. Because I always took my time to learn the nuts and bolts of anything I touched. I'll grab the history on it and find out what the real perks are, find out how the system goes. And here I am in my late 20s, and I'm completely out of control. But God, as I understand him, was actually playing a joke on me, and I didn't know it. Later, he was going to call me to be a preacher. All of this running around, all of this craziness.
Wow.
And so in order for me to get out of the hole I got out of, I had to do the thing I liked the most. I had to learn the history. I had to check the nuts and bolts, as I said earlier, and I had to learn the system. And so now they call it recovery. And I found out that most everyone has a malfunction of sorts. I went to the library, picked up a book on drugs. First page, sugar. Second page, caffeine. Third page, nicotine. So that changes what we think an addiction really is.
Yeah.
There's
sexual addiction. There's food addiction.
Yes. Codependency is a big one, and it goes vastly.
That I don't understand. I'd like to learn about codependency.
Codependency, it starts from a myriad of reasons, but commonly about two or three. And what it is maladjusted relationships. Co meaning a part of, dependency meaning depending on or depending with. And so it's a symbiotic relationship where givers hook up with takers. And this could be parent-child. It could be
romantic. If your wife is parenting you, it's not good.
Yeah.
If you're parenting your wife,
if your mom is chasing you and you're 40 years old, something's wrong somewhere.
Yeah.
Or if your son is calling you and he's 50, something's wrong.
Or for a girl, she has a daddy issue.
Exactly. And that, but there's a whole myriad. to it. Again, you alluded to when I was out in.
Okay, hold on. But how do you differentiate that? Because as a man, I like to be esteemed at, like, in other words, I want to almost not father my wife, but I do want to be admired and looked up to, because the Bible says the woman wants to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
The man wants to be respected.
Mm-hmm.
The woman is told in the Bible to respect. She's never told to love because she naturally loves. The man is told to love because he naturally gives respect, but he needs to learn to give love.
Codependency is the most grossly underdiagnosed
disease.
Because we have to. The first thing that God said in the Bible, it is not good.
It is not good for man dwell.
To be alone.
Yeah.
And we've been living in villages and cities and towns ever since. And in this interaction, we have to live a symbiotic relationship. You sell chickens and I sell vegetables.
Yeah.
So this is just a matter of time.
We have need of each other.
Exactly.
But God planned it that way.
So we have to be codependent on each other.
And that's a good thing. So that's a good thing.
But when it's...
Because it creates relationships.
Right. But what happens is man has a tendency at the root to want too much.
In other words, like, for instance, there was years ago, there was this man. I would go to a certain meeting, and there was a man outside waiting for me, and I gave him a $20 bill. Well, then he's there the next week.
Mm-hmm.
I went to see a friend of mine. I call him my sponsor. And he said, you give it once. And he said, I'm giving this to you once. The guy on Shark Tank, he said people come to him all the time. He has millions of dollars. I guess he's a billionaire. And he said someone in the family asked for $150,000 to start a restaurant. He comes in. He goes, it's going to be a real uncomfortable Thanksgiving if that guy doesn't pay you back. So what you do is you say, I'm not going to loan you $150,000. I'm going to give you $50,000. It's an absolute gift. You're never to pay this back, but I'm not going to give you anything else ever again. And that's what this person told me to do. Give once, but then because a codependency is if he's waiting there every week for me to give him another 20, and instead of working, he's hanging out wanting to, hand out, that creates a codependency. Is that a good analysis?
The old saying is if you give a man a fish,
yes,
he'll only eat for one day. But if you teach him how to fish, and what this person was telling you is that if he's not willing to learn how to do for himself, he's now codependent on you. Because codependency is doing something for someone else that they could actually do for themselves.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for New Day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
I cannot dwell.